There is a sign in heaven in Revelation chapter 12. The woman. Right. Here let us read a woman clothed with a sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns, diadem on his head. And his tail drew a third of the stars in heaven. Of course, this great red dragon was Satan himself, right? And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a man-child, a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. It is not a very simple vision. A lot of people in Christianity says this woman was Mary and the child was Jesus Christ, but it's not true, because the Lord was born way before that. So who is actually this woman? This woman is the totality of God's people in the past. She had 12 stars signifying the age of the patriarch. For example, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. So according to the Bible, the time was divided according to the time of the patriarchs, all the way from Abel to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then you have the age of the Old Covenant, the time of the nation of Israel with the law, the commandment, the Old Covenant, which is signified by the moon. The woman was standing on the moon. The moon in the Old Testament is just like a shadow that is pointing us to the coming of Christ, the reality, which is signified by the sun. So the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is the rising of the sun, not S-O-N only, but S-U-N, okay? The sun is the sun. It's the reality. The moon is just a reflection of the sun, which is the Old Testament. So in Colossians, it says, the Old Covenant, everything in the Old Covenant is just a shadow, but the reality is Christ. So this woman is actually the totality of God's people in the time past. And this man-child signifies the overcoming ones, the stronger part of the woman, because the scripture tells us the majority of God's people are weak. They didn't care so much about God. Even the people of Israel. So you can see this wonderful picture here. And this man-child, what did it say? He was supposed to rule over all nations with a rod of iron. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Go back to Revelation chapter 2. Let's see who this woman was. The church in Thyatira. In verse 26 and 27, and he who overcomes, because the church was fallen, the seven churches showed us in the history of the church, the churches were fallen. They're not faithful to God. Starting with Ephesus, the church who left the first love. And then Pergamos, the church who loves the world, married to the world. The church is supposed to be the bride of Christ. Christ is a unique, wonderful bridegroom. But the church left this love for Christ and mingled with the world. That is not good. And now to Thyatira, let's see this point to show you who this man-child really was. And to him who overcomes. So don't just be a believer, but be an overcoming Christian. Because you're fighting a battle, right? And the battle depends not only on those who believe, but those who gain the victory to overcome the enemy. So, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, so don't quit, okay? Don't quit halfway. Just like going to university, if you stop halfway, you won't graduate. To him who overcomes, remember this word, and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. It's exactly what is described in Revelation chapter 12. This man-child. Man-child in the Bible, the male, represents a stronger one. The woman, according to Peter, it says, is a weaker vessel. That's why the transgenders are not allowed to compete with the women's sports. Of course they're going to win. They got a big muscle. And so here you can see, and he shall rule the nations with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. So here, let us go back to Revelation chapter 12, showing us that this man-child is actually the one that will be raptured to the throne. And a woman will flee to the wilderness, a place prepared by God on this earth for this woman. Her status was resurrection status. That's why Satan couldn't touch her. Now, there is a battle today. There is a battle. It's good for us to know. Don't think you can live a good life as a Christian today. Yes, you're living a good life, but you should realize there is a spiritual battle going on. In chapter 12, what I want to show you is when this male child is raptured to the throne, verse 7, war broke out in heaven. Not on this earth, not yet. This earth, we are fighting a spiritual battle. But the real battle between Satan and Archangel Michael will begin right here, when man-child was raptured to the throne. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, Satan is going to cast down to this earth. Would you like to be here when he's cast down here? You like to remain here? Who likes to remain here? Marcus? What about the saints there? Would you like to remain here on this earth when Satan and his angels were all cast down? You shouldn't be here anymore. You should not. But it depends whether you're part of the man-child or not, whether you're an overcomer or not. If you're not an overcomer, sorry, you have to remain here on this earth. So, verse 9, The great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. Deceive the whole world. You might think you're so wise, you're not deceived. If you love the world, you're already deceived. Remember, you have two choices. One is the tree of life, and the other one is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is a different choice. What do you think? What the choice that Satan is giving you today? Okay, think about this. So he was cast down, he deceived the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then we continue to read verse 13. Oh, okay. Let us perhaps read verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven, and you who were dwelling there, or dwelling there in heaven. So at the time, you shouldn't be here, you should be up there, if you are qualified. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time, 3.5 years, very short. So where are you going to be when time comes? Charlie, where do you like to be? Where? Up there or down here? Huh? Mount Zion, heavenly Mount Zion. But if you're not in Mount Zion today, you cannot be up there standing with a lamb on Mount Zion before the throne of God. If you're in Babylon today, or you love the world and you got stuck here in the world, don't say you can go up. The Lord will tell you, well, you love the world so much, stay there. Stay there. You like to stay here, Benson? How about you, Calvin? But you love the world so much. You're so busy in this world, right? How often do you think about going up there? You're so busy here. You're so busy down here, you have no time to go up there, right? When the time of rapture comes, oh, what about all my properties? Oh, what about, what is the best car on this earth? Maserati, how about that? What about my cars? I got 10 of them in my garage. What about all the wonderful things that I own? You're so attached to all these things in your heart. When the rapture comes, you're stuck. You're stuck. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be, the Lord said. So if your treasures are on this earth, don't think when the time comes, you will look up there, you will look down here. So it's not that the Lord doesn't want you to go up. It's because your choice is down here. So if your choice today in your daily living is so much down here below, don't think when the time comes you're going to change your mind. I want to go up a lot. You know the story of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah? What happened? God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from above, right? with sulfur and fire coming down, destroyed the whole city. In just a few minutes, or maybe even faster than that, the heat is so tremendous, you don't need time to destroy everything. So the angels went there and tried to convince them not to stay there. And the angels had a hard time to convince everybody, Lot and his family, to come out, because they got so many friends there and so many things there. But finally, the angel was able to take them out. But one condition, don't look back. Okay, the angels told them, don't look back. They all agreed. So they all came out. But halfway, Lot's wife, and became a pillar of salt. And the Lord warned us, remember Lot's wife. Why do you think Lot's wife looked back, Charlie? Help us. Give me a good reason why she would look back. She likes to see the fire. Fireworks, wonderful. I'm going to see what happens. Wow, fireworks. You think that's the reason? No. So what other reason do you think it should look back? Her heart was there. Physically, she left, but her heart was still there. She looked back. So don't think you will not look back. The Lord will tell you, Charlie, come up here. Charlie will say, wait. Wait, what about my things? Oh, what about Anna? There's so many things there on this earth. Not necessarily bad things, but good things, of course. But your heart is attached to all these things. What happened to my thing? What happened? You look back, you become a pillar of salt. You're neither here nor there. So where are you going to be? So this is important as an introduction to what John was saying. Do not love the world. Let's turn to the outline. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, 15 to 17. Yeah. We're talking about to make the right choice. Still today, you also have to make a choice. Don't think the two trees are only in the Garden of Eden. Today, you have to make a choice. Although you have already eternal life in you, but you also have the flesh with you. The flesh is drawn to the world. And the eternal life that is in you, it depends on you love the Lord more than you love the world, or who do you choose in your daily life? Now John is telling us here, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. He didn't say do not have anything in this world. You cannot live in this world without something, okay? Right? You need a house, you need a car, maybe to go to work, but you don't necessarily need a Maybach Mercedes-Benz. No, a car with four wheels is good enough. But for some people, it's not good enough. You need to have the best car in the whole world. Right? You need to have the best of everything. But here it says, do not love the world. You may have things, but don't be attached to it. You're using it only. Right? It's good for you. You need a fridge at home, right? But you don't love the fridge. You shouldn't. But if you bought a sub-zero, okay. But, you know, a sub-zero, that means it is below zero. That means it's less than nothing. That's why it's called sub-zero. You'll be attached. And if you got a dent, oh, your heart aches. Right? You just drove a jeepney and it got a dent, you don't care about it. But you got a what? I don't even know what is the best car today. What is it? Whatever it is. And you just got a little scratch. Ah, it looks like your heart is bleeding. It didn't scratch the car, it scratched your heart. So it says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. This is what the enemy is offering to you. Because there are two choices, right? Don't think Satan has nothing to offer to you. He has so many things to offer to you. But things that are dead, no life. Nothing that his world has produced is living. Do you have a living house? You'll be in trouble because you go away, the house will run away. You come back, the house is gone. And your car run away and then it's stolen by someone. Nothing that the world creates for you is living. But Satan has to offer something to you to gain your heart, to distract you away from the living God. It's a competition. This is why the world has to do something even more beautiful, bigger, larger, nicer. Wow, right? To attack you. There's a competition going on. So what else does Satan have to offer to you? Some are terrible things, but people love it. Drugs, some people love it. Good things, good people love it. So you have to give your whole life to be a slave, to make so much money. And then those billionaires, they thought they can rule the world. I don't want to get into that, but you have to know what is going on in this world. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. You'll be deceived by so many good things, right? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ah, that is a competition right there. You choose. Just like in the Garden of Eden. Now it's between God or whatever Satan has to offer to you. So what do you choose? You cannot love both. So you choose the love of the Father or you choose the love of the world. What do you want? And the world is passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That will remain forever. everything else will pass away. Yeah. So what are you going to do? Love the world, or are you going to love the Father? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. Remember this word. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't own anything, but you should realize it should not preoccupy your heart. Don't love it. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And John chapter 5 says, the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one, the wicked. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Okay. 1 John chapter 5 towards the end. Yeah. Verse 19. We know that we are of God. Praise the Lord. If you are of God, you should love God. You should have the love of God in your heart. The love of God should have the preeminence. It's not enough just to say, okay, I love the world, but I also love God. It doesn't work like that, okay? We know that we are of God, and the whole world is wonderful. No. Yes, it is wonderful. But it says here, lies in the hands of the evil one, the wicked one. It's just under his control. Everything is under his control. Satan built a terribly attractive system in this world. So is it terrible or is it attractive? It is terribly attractive. To lure you away from God. To compete with God. So what do you love? Of course, nobody wants to say, I love the devil, right? I've never heard people saying, I love the devil. So if I say the choice is between God and the devil, what will you choose? Grace. The devil? Because nobody wants to say, I choose the devil, right? So who do you choose, God or devil? What about if I change the word devil to the world? Beautiful word. More shopping every day. Wow. So many new things. Beautiful, colorful, wonderful. So, do you love God or do you love the world? Now, you have a hard choice. But you have to be wise to see who is behind the whole world. The whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. So if you love the world, where are you going to end up? In the hands of God? It's a trap, just like a mouse trap. The mouse didn't realize it's a trap. He loves the cheese. If you ask the mouse, do you love the trap? Of course the mouse would say, no, I hate it. It's got cut off my neck. But cheese, yeah, of course. But the real choice is not the cheese, but you get into the trap. The whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. It says under the sway, but under the sway is man's translation. That's why it is really not there, but it lies in the hands of the evil one. So if you love the world, where are you going to end up? The world? No. The hands of the evil one. So if you're wise, you make the right choice. Yeah. But the world is not just what is outside. Satan planted or implanted his nature you receive the Lord, the life of God gets into it, into you. But if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you thought, oh, it's just a knowledge of good and evil. What's wrong with knowledge, right? This is the deceiving part. Satan doesn't come to you who holds long teeth, long tail, and he comes to you. You think you're going to receive him like that? You'll scare the wit out of you. You'll run away from him. But he comes with you in a deceiving way, knowledge. Well, don't you love knowledge? Of course, knowledge is good. That's why you go to school. But a knowledge of good and evil. Well, isn't it good to know? But how come human beings know so much when they're killing each other? And there's so much evil going on in this world. So you need to see what is going on. That is why just to tell the young people, don't love the world, they would say, why? That's beautiful. Right? So attractive. There are so many things. But then it's because Satan, in his subtlety, injected now through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his sinful nature in. This is why in Romans 8, it says, sin dwells in me, in our flesh. So on one hand, the world seems to be outside of you, but actually, that very nature of the world, the sin that dwells in your flesh, draws you to the world. That's why John says, what is the world? The lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes. That's why the things are not only things, but you like beautiful things. Right? So if it's not beautiful, it's not good enough for you. Ah, no. Right? Even pots and pans has to be beautiful. It has to be WMF. And coffee machine, ah, it has to be Jura from Switzerland. And the car, a jeepney, is not good enough. Well, Toyota isn't that good enough. What kind of a car do you want? Right? So many wonderful choices for you. This is the world. But if you don't have a lust, a thing called lust, we have the love of God, but the lust for the world. Do not love the world. But it's very difficult. Why? Because of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. What you see immediately, you all of a sudden, wow, right? You walk through all of these beautiful places, your eyes immediately attracted. I want that. Especially the children go to the toy shop. I want this. I want that. You bring the children to the Lego shop. Who will be able to get up? Even at night, he'll be drinking of Lego shop. Because it was already programmed into our flesh. Like sports. The enemy has all kinds of sports for you. Tennis, soccer, American football, basketball.
Skateball. Yeah.
I don't know why people enjoy that long stick and hitting a ball. And they find I'm so happy.
他们打球之后呢?
That happiness stops when you lost the game. And you'll be weeping when you go home. Your joy will turn to sadness.
Whatever you love.
There's all kinds of music.
Rock
Classic.
classic.
What kind of music do you like? Satan
Thì
has all kinds of
chắc
music arranged there for you.
มันมีทุกอย่างที่ท่านจะชอบที่ท่าน
ไอ้
จะ
มัน
ให้ท่านชอบ
When they go home, they just relax and listening to classic music. They can listen for hours, but they cannot read a Bible for 5 minutes, they will fall asleep. 5 minutes, their eyelids will fall down. Right? But when they listen to the music, wow, they can sit there for hours. No? Oh, yeah. Many of us experience that. But to pray, you pray yourself to sleep. Oh, if you cannot fall asleep, you pray. You will fall asleep. Or you go to church on Sunday, listen to a message, then that's the best place to sleep. My sister told me, my younger sister, before when she went to church on Sunday, she always went to sleep. So it's a good place. If you can't sleep, I advise you to go there and then you can fall asleep. But when you're enjoying the world, wow, you're wide awake. You watch TV, ah, the more you watch it, the bigger your eyes become. Why? It gives you life? No, it doesn't give you life. It brings death to you at the very end. So John says, do not love the world. Anyone who loves the world like that doesn't mean you shouldn't have it, okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't have, you should have nothing. Just be the homeless people and sleep in the park. No, no. Please don't do that, okay? Don't be a homeless people. There's enough in Los Angeles and San Francisco. It doesn't mean they don't love the world, but they're just too lazy to work. But do not love the world. Now let's go to James. I put a verse there in James chapter 1, verse 27. Let's go to James. James chapter 1. Yeah, we, those who love the Lord, just the last part, keep oneself unspotted from the world. He used the word unspotted. It's a choice word. Because once you go through, the world will influence you. And influence you in so many things, just like something fell on you and you got spots in your clothes. And it's hard to wash away. If you're spotted and it's stuck to you, you will keep on thinking about it. And the more you think about it, the more you want to have it. You are attracted to it. And James continued to say in James 4, let's go to James 4. He is very strong. James is a brother who's, we use strong words, he's very straightforward. Yeah. He calls them adulterers and adulteresses. It doesn't mean that they commit adultery every day, okay? But it's a spiritual adultery. The church is the bride of Christ. But if you love the world, just like in the Old Testament days, the people of Israel were attracted to idols and began to worship the idols, and God called them, he became adulterers. You replace God with someone else or with something else. God called them even stronger harlots. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? This is not just telling you, oh, don't be distracted by the world. You should remember what the Word of God says here. Friendship, it's just friendship. Okay? Is friendship bad? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. No compromise here. But a lot of times we make compromises. These words are very strong. It doesn't mean that, remember, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have anything, okay? That's not what it means. But attaching to it is another thing. You're just using it, that's all. But if it begins to preoccupy your heart, and you want more of it, and you want more, and you can't stop, then that is bad. To be a friend of the world, to make yourself an enemy of God. Remember, it is a world that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why when the Lord was on this earth, nobody wants to make friends with him. They're all against him, especially those religious ones. At the end, they even want to kill him, get rid of him. Did I have another verse there? John 3:19. Let us read. John 3:19. I think the word is good enough to speak to us. Oops. Yeah. The Gospel of John 3:19. Ah, 3:19. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness more than light. That's why we are attracted. And God is light, and we are children of light. And we're supposed to be the light of the world. But if we end up the same as the world, then what kind of a light do we have? We are children of the day, not of the night. John is not talking about doctrine. This is why it's useless to just tell people do not love the world. But what can I say? You have a choice. And the world is not just a political world. Religion is also a world. Satan is very subtle. You have a lot of choice also in religion. What do you want to be? You want to be a Muslim? Jewish? You want to be what? Mormon? Jehovah's Witness? Baptist? Catholic? You want to be what? There's a lot of choices. He knows how to trap you. I feel sorry for so many Christians, they don't know where they ended up. Mega church. Right? In Singapore, you have mega churches. Right, Xu Cheng. Mega church. Wow, yeah. 20,000 or more people. They even have their own mall. So after the meetings, everybody can go to a restaurant. And after the restaurant is very close, there is a cinema. Ah. And after the cinema, you can go shopping. There's a shopping mall. And when you go home, you're dead. You are spiritually dead. Forgive me for describing it sometimes so vividly to all of you, but we have to know. We have to know, and so many people went there. And they share not a gospel of salvation only, but even a more attractive gospel of prosperity. Yeah, gospel of prosperity. You're not believing correctly if you're a poor person. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, you have to be a rich man. This is the blessing. So something's wrong with your faith. Do you know the gospel of prosperity? Do you want to be poor or you want to be rich? So you give us $1,000, you donate it, the Lord will give you with interest, you'll get $10,000 back. Good business. Very good business. Oh, this is why those pastors, they have jets, they have private jets. One pastor in America, he had, what, three or four? Three is not enough. Why do you need the last one? Well, because I need to have a jet big enough so that I don't need to have a stopover to refuel. I just go fly to my destiny without having to have a stopover. How about that? You have a choice. So what do you want? We don't have a choice. God wants to have a kingdom of priests. He wants Zion, the city of the living God. And there in Zion, God is a judge of all. You know the Lord as a savior. What about in Zion, God is a judge? He's going to judge you. There's judgment. We all need to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Written in Romans 10, 2 Corinthians 5, and read it yourself. Even Paul was afraid. He says, knowing the terror of God. You only know the love of God. What about the terror of God? So we all need to wake up. Of course, God doesn't want to terrify you. That's not the point, but he doesn't want us to fall into the trap of the devil. This is God's love to warn us. And besides, you're going to inherit all things anyway. Just be patient a little bit. When the Lord comes back, you're going to inherit all things. Inherit the whole universe. Your vacation will not just be in Batangas somewhere, in Lobo, or I don't know where else, in Palawan, whatever. You can visit a whole place in the whole universe. You're going to own it. With Christ, he's going to own all things. That's why in the book of Revelation, it says, he who overcomes will inherit all things. And everything on this earth is going to pass away. Nothing remaining. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. How about that? Yeah, before we stop, we got 5 minutes. It's good. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let us read 2 Peter chapter 3. Yeah, beloved. Praise the Lord. Peter called all the saints beloved. So we have to love one another. Right? I didn't get into that yet. In 1 John, we have to love one another as God's people and encourage one another. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder. So we all need to be reminded. Nobody has to remind you not to love the world. I think it's very natural. It's yeah, it's part of you, our fallen nature. But love the Lord, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Ah, 2,000 years already. Well, at that time, they were already talking about the Lord's coming. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, even getting better and better, more and more beautiful, richer and richer, right? For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, God created it. And the earth standing out of water and in the water, he's talking about the first judgment, reminding us of the first judgment of Lucifer at that time. That is why in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth became chaos. Chaos means tohu bohu. In Hebrew, that means chaotic. After the judgment, and darkness covered the face of the earth, and the earth was underwater, just like the time of Noah. Because in ancient days, God destroys them by the flood, like the time of Noah, by which the world that then existed perished at that time, flooded with water. But the heaven, and remember, the time of Noah, it was also flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, because after Noah, God promised not to destroy anymore through flood, are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for wonderful place for you to live. Will it say that? This earth that now is so beautiful is going to preserve it. God loved it so much, it's going to be a museum. No, he says the world that's preserved now by the same word, a reserve for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Horrible when it comes. Nothing is going to remain. It's going to pass away. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God, counting of days, his math is very different than your math. Sharon is a mathematician, right? You only know earthly mathematics, but you better know heavenly mathematics. You cannot learn that at school. One day equals 1,000 years. The teacher, the math, is not going to teach you that. Okay. You will not learn that kind of a math, right, Calvin? But really, from the time of Genesis 1 up to now, it's already 6,000 years. For God, it's 6 days. And what are you seeing? The 7,000 years that are coming very soon will be the millennial kingdom. For God, it's only one day. For us, it's 1,000. So number 7 is a very important number in the Bible. So why do you think in Genesis chapter 1, when God came back to renovate the earth after it was destroyed through judgment, God could have done it in one day, right? Let there be everything, and everything was there. Wow, if I were God, huh? Why bother to do it in 6 days if I can do it in one day, right? Won't you do that? Well, then he doesn't need to even rest. It's done. It's done in one day. It's good. But he just, first day, he just let there be light. And there was light. And he said, oh, it's very good. And that's the first day. And God just walked away. Then the second day, he came back. And he separated the water from below, water from above to create the atmosphere. And, you know, in that second day, he didn't say it wasn't very good. He didn't say it was good. But don't worry about it. So, and then the third day, he separated water from the dry land because the whole earth was covered with water because of judgment. So he separated it. That's the third day. And the earth was there. All the living things began to grow. Grass and trees and life began to come out. And the fourth day, he began to renovate the sun, the moon, the stars, the luminaries. That was the fourth day. And so forth. Why did he do it like that for 6 days? And the seventh day, he rested, right? Charlie, am I right? If I'm wrong, please correct me, okay? I won't get mad at you. Open all the time for correction. 6 plus 1. The seventh day, God rested. And think about it. What about in the book of Revelation? There are so many churches at that time. Why he only chose 7 churches? And there are 7 seals in that book. And the 7 seals is divided into 6 seal and 1, because the 7th seal are the 7 trumpets. And the 7 trumpets are divided into 6 trumpets and 1. The last trumpets are the 7 bowls. Do you think God is stuck? He only knows 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's it. That's everything he knows. He's trying to tell you something. Adam to Abraham is 2,000 years. From Abraham to the coming of Christ, the first coming is 2,000 years. And now from the second coming of Christ until now is another 2,000 years. So how long do you think you have to wait for a millennial, 1,000 years to come? For God, is only 6 days. For you, it's 6,000. Oh, that's a long, long time, right? So when is the millennial kingdom going to start? You tell me. Suppose it comes next year. You would say, no, it's not going to come that soon. But why not? 6,000 years have passed. 6 days. God. No, it's the seventh day. It's a Sabbath day. So you all need to be wise. I'm trying to help all of us, including myself, to remind us that time is very, very short. God is not slack concerning his promise. As many or some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. 6,000 years for mankind to replenish, to multiply, and fill the earth. Just this year, the population of the world reached 8 billion. My, that's a lot. 8 billion. So, but that day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. That will be the Big Bang. That would be the big bang, but it's not to create new things, it's to destroy everything. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Burned up. You believe that? Do you all believe that? What are you going to tell the Lord? Lord, you can burn up everything, but please not my properties. You think the Lord will? Okay, Benson, I love you so much. I'll keep your property. You won't be hurt. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now is the time to repent. Turn back to God. Yes, you still have time now. Do it quickly. Because everything will be burned up, melt with fervent heat, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and even hastening? Because the Lord is waiting for you to be ready. If you're a slow poke going on spiritually like a turtle, then the Lord will have to wait. But there's no more time to wait. What manner of person we ought to be looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for the new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, and I hope we are all looking forward to this thing, because it's coming soon. Yeah, looking forward to these things. The Lord already told us very clearly, it's coming, it's coming. Look forward to it, anticipate it's coming, get ready. Look forward to these things. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. So please, have peace with one another, especially in Zion. And be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. I think we'll read up to this point, it's good enough. But I also like to warn you, not only the whole world will be burned up, but whatever you do serving God according to your own ways will also be burned up. Very clearly stated, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You can read it for yourself. When the Lord comes, he's coming with fire. He's going to try every man's work, what sort it is. If you build with gold, silver, and precious stones, praise the Lord, it's not afraid of fire. But if you build with wood, hay, and stubble, it will be burned. But not your salvation. You will still be saved, but then the warning is as if going through fire. Don't think it is all right. Okay. So, wake up, right? Every one of us must wake up. Take care of this wonderful eternal life. That's the only thing that will save you today, the tree of life. Made the right choice? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm 5 minutes over time. But we started 15 minutes too late, so I'm just making it up. Make up the time. Amen. Have some prayer. Charlie, why don't you pray for us?